You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to run around this state and the neighboring states of Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, and Iowa, experiencing the fantastic outdoors, hunting, fishing, foraging, eating my way through the Midwest, wild game, cannot get enough of it. I could not be more excited by our panel tonight, our guests tonight, our hosts tonight. Of course, I've got to stop with the start with the acclaimed world award winning chef Ellie Lawton, official, authentic, certified chef. Went to culinary school and is a French culinarian. I learned that
part is true. I don't know if the world knows about it yet, but the rest of it is actually true.
Well, now, wait a minute. Anybody who wonders if you're actually a chef, you appear on a national magazine.
That's true. An industry magazine, yes.
You've been on magazines lately.
I've just been chefing it up.
You're kind of exploding, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know, I went to school. I paid a lot of money for a piece of paper that says I can cook. And you know what? I'm out there slinging some food around.
Well, I can verify the fact that you can definitely cook. This week, Chef Lawton and I are extremely excited to welcome back to the show for the first time since she received a promotion at work and now basically runs the entire excavating world.
Oh, it's a
former
small world
co-host
we live in.
Danielle Fairman is here.
Yay!
And we're jacked to have her back. Thank you so much. You know, we literally changed and manipulated the recording of this show so that you could come and be here because you are working your ass off now, your butt off now. That's not a violation.
It
of
is
the
not
FCC.
A violation.
I think you can say that.
You just can't say.
I was talking
just
about
kidding,
the donkey.
Noah just looked at me.
Noah's rolling his eyes. Noah Morris of Morris Original.
That part has not changed.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
When you were doing your intro for the show, Danielle laughed at something, and it was so nice to hear that laugh come through the mic.
Aww. Yeah.
Because you know
so
why I laughed?
It's so lovely to have you back.
Because he said Wisco wrong. Raised in Wisco. That's what I'm so. That's what I missed.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
the OG.
You,
yes,
I was like, oh,
that's right.
Yes,
we
yes.
are now,
raised in the woods.
We used to
I
be
love that.
Raised in Wisco. Now we're raised in the woods because we have expanded beyond the borders of Wisconsin,
yes.
which is very exciting
you
throughout the Civic Media
and
Network.
This panel is pretty great because we're pretty much all living in the woods. Raised in the woods, we are doing it.
You know, a lot of people out there like to put things on social media claiming they are very involved in the outdoors, claiming they accept everybody and include everybody in the outdoors.
It's called keyboard warriors.
And they like to, keyboard hunters.
Oh, keyboard hunters, yeah.
And they like to talk about how much they do. And what I love about this panel and this group of folks is that we're literally knocking on doors, getting those permissions the hard way, and hunting and angling and foraging and bringing the outdoors is our lives. We are honored and pleased to have the listeners we do to be able to share that with you, to encourage you. And I want to be the first one to say that we truly want everybody to have joy in the outdoors of the Midwest. And that's what this show is about. And we've got some other exciting, just when you thought it couldn't get more exciting, we have Megan, our sommelier pirate, the sommelier of the show. She's here. She's here with us. And maybe even more importantly, she brought her lover, Dave. We haven't heard from her
lover Dave in a while. Hi, Dave.
He's back.
It's also his birthday.
Woo-hoo!
Dave's birthday. Is today. Happy birthday. Dave turns 59 today.
You don't look a day over 16.
Minus 18. All right. So how old are you turning?
41.
Oh, yay. God. Well, you don't look a day over 40, Dave.
Also, this month is a little bit of a sour month for me.
Sour?
Why?
Well, because the people that I enjoy spending my time with, you four, you all have birthdays age. This month. You have yes. all you have all aged yes. this month.
We all and, are and, Geminis.
And while I don't
no,
have
we're
a,
not.
Well,
she's on the other side.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
one of the other people.
Cancer?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't celebrate my aging process until January, but it is nice to sit back and watch you all.
Well, it's your half birthday, though.
Yeah.
That yeah, counts, exactly. I guess. Yeah.
Megan and I are Irish twins, right, Megan?
Sure.
Sure.
Is that what that means?
No, really. Irish twins is when you have like, two brothers right. or two sisters that are born within like
15 months of yeah. each other.
So, like, okay. Dave is so an that Irish makes twin sense. With his brother because I mean, they're only like. That 15 actually months
works
apart.
Here then.
Yeah, well, it does.
Yes, yes, dear.
In our own way.
Yes, dear.
Danielle, it's so well, good to see you.
A very, very happy birthday to you, Dave. Hope yes. it goes well. I know happy you birthday. Are already prepping for the whitetail season, which is coming up. And this is going to be an exciting show because we're talking today. We have a woman's panel today. So Dave and I are going
Dave's
to...
Dave's not part of it.
Dave and I are not part of it, but we are going to contribute if asked. But we're going to talk about the fastest growing group of new hunters today, women in the outdoors, and how they are flourishing in the outdoors and some of the issues that are encountered when any influx of new hunters gets into the sport. And we also are honored to have Joe Person. He's going to bring us the perspective of the youngsters because he's 18 years old.
18, oh avid my goodness. Hunter.
He's, a little baby.
He's just,
but he's out in the outdoors just killing
as
it.
As our friend from bit. Ireland, James, would say, he's just a baby.
Just a baby.
And we're going to hear from him, but we've got a really exciting show today, and we love having you along on the Civic Media Station. Saturdays at 11 o'clock, you can catch Raised in the Woods, this conglomerate of goofballs, plus some serious things, and as always, the culinary, how to bring your field and forage to the table in a fast, easy way with Chef Lawton and Megan Salazar. But before that, we have our Wild of the Week. Ooh. I am excited about this week's Wild of the Week for me because whether you like it or not, if you want to get out there and become a good waterfowl hunter, it's time to start scouting now.
Ooh, yes.
And I have already started scouting, and I want to talk with you guys about that because so many people wait until later. They're showing up on farmers' doors trying to get on the X when they see the birds there. But now, right now, early June is the time to actually be scouting for waterfowl. And, you know, all the ducks and geese out there have got their babies along.
Yeah,
their broods
so
are developing. It's awesome to see. But now you're not scouting the animals, you're scouting the fields. Anybody's guess what fields you should be scouting right now?
We Megan? Talked about this.
We did.
Winter wheat.
Winter mm-hmm. wheat. That's the first thing to come off. And those birds, they want nutrition, but they're not looking for the real high carb, high starch stuff like corn yet. And they're going to, if you want to be successful in the early season, which starts September 1st in Wisconsin, about that same time in all the surrounding states, now's the time to get out there, knock on the farmer's doors, start requesting permissions, bring them the pot pies, bring them some venison steaks, and make friends.
Offer to throw some hay.
Offer to throw some hay, mend a fence. Mend a fence metaphorically and literally with those out there. And, you know, I hope there are some folks who listen to this show who've got old hunting buddies or folks they used to be friends with and maybe have parted ways. This is the time to mend fences. This is a time to realize that everybody who enjoys the outdoors should be in the same club. And one of my criticisms is that there's too much criticism among hunters and outdoorsmen and women. And in all reality, everybody who's getting out there should have a chance to do it.
So there's room for everybody.
There's room for everybody. So if you've got one of those attitudes that you're, you know, bad mouthing old hunting buddies, or you've got friends who have fallen away from, this is the perfect time of year to mend those fences metaphorically as well and realize we're all just human beings and we're all out there trying to do what's best for those in the outdoors. So if that's a little piece of advice I could give, I'd like to give that too, because in the outdoors, we've already got enough folks who are critical of what we do. And we need 100%. To make sure we're above that and being good stewards of the land and being friends with each other instead of negatively talking about way one guy hunts the way another guy hunts. So that's I waxed on a little bit there, but that's my wild of the
week. Wax on, wax off.
Danielle, what have you got for your wild of the week?
My wild of the week is a puppy.
What? A new
one? I got another puppy.
A bird dog?
I did.
We're going to post a picture on our Facebook page of Danielle's new puppy.
I am one of those gifts you see out there where in a waterfall of things they can train a pointer. it is so different.
Possible. It's possible. My fancy dog was well trained until my daughters ruined her and turned her into a lap dog. That's a fantastic wild of the week. Congratulations on the new puppy. Our sommelier pirate.
I have a broken wing.
You do have a broken wing.
So, but what I did was I went and visited Chris Kilgore with Color in the Outdoors.
Love
and checked
Chris.
Out his property.
Wonderful.
Gonna have him on the show soon.
UTV ride around the property and see how it is and plan some stuff in the future.
Oh, that's fantastic. Shout out to Chris Kilgore, who does a great job bringing folks into the outdoors. Megan's lover, Dave, did you get in the outdoors this week?
I did. I was actually in Erie. And we're fishing walleyes.
Ooh, sounds eerie.
And
yum.
As bad as I want to say it was, we were off the lake in like 2.5 hours each day with our limit of walleyes.
That makes fantastic.
Sense.
Then I got one more. We had another litter of puppies at home.
Jeez Louise.
So I'm going off of Danielle's a little bit, but you know.
Yeah.
I have to.
Congratulations to all the dog folks.
Dave works out of town during the week. So I'm the one with my handful.
Yeah, Dave clearly.
One hand, just one.
Dave likes to brag about the puppies, but Megan takes care of the puppies.
That's how I am with Josh.
Yeah.
He takes care of Romeo and I'm at work.
Yeah, but you're bringing home the bacon, so that's someone's got to do that.
To be fair, she did have two hands at the time of that litter.
Yes, and now she had a shoulder surgery and she's got only one. Joe Person.
Hello. That's
an odd last name, but I kind of like it.
It's the eighth most common Swedish last name.
Yeah, it is a very Swedish
last
name.
Did you say eighth?
Eighth most common Swedish last name.
It's not the fourth, not the ninth. No. It's the eighth.
It's the eighth most common Swedish last name.
Okay.
What's the ninth?
I have no idea.
Oh, what's the seventh?
I don't know.
Well, sons of biscuits.
He only needs to know
her. What kind of Swedish representative are you if you don't know the other seven? My goodness.
That's a cool fact, though. I like that.
Did you get in the outdoors this week?
Does all the dog training I've done this week count?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Holy
Thursday,
cow.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
It's the dog days of summer and the dog days of Raised in the Woods.
Oh, that's exciting.
So you were up north.
Yep. I was up at Strike Force with Josh and Whitney Miller, Riverstone Kennels.
Heck
doing
yeah.
Doing some dog training. My dog's been up there for training. Just got to take her home today. Really
What's
cool
her name?
About Brandy.
Nice.
Call her B-Dog.
Brandy.
B-Dog.
Such
B-Dog.
A fine
oh, I love that.
Girl.
Yep. She's a good dog. She's got a long ways to go, but she's just over a year old. Got to do a lot of training up there with them.
Awesome.
It was a really cool event. They did a really good job putting it on.
Perfect.
Cool.
Chef Lawton.
This is one that I don't normally ever say because I don't do it a lot. I went to a Brewer game.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Fowl Life was in town. We had an unbelievable turkey hunt. Shows with Chad Belding, the national host of the Fowl Life. We all got to on the field at the Milwaukee Brewer game, which was pretty cool. And they won the game, which was also awesome. That's a great, that is a
Oh, and
a
I helped
great...
Megan take care of the puppies. That's the other one.
Okay, well, those two are both very good. We got the dog days of summer. We got women in the outdoors, our women's panel, and the growing amount of women getting into the outdoors. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Raised in the Woods, and if you recognize that laugh, she's back.
She's
former
back
co-host
in black.
Of the show, Danielle Fairman is here. My name's Joel Clayfish, along with Ellie Lawton, Megan Salazar, Megan's lover Dave, and Joe Person is joining us. new breed, an 18-year-old. This is Raised in the Woods, the show that's about what you hunt, fish, angle, rock climb, kayak, sideways banana, camping,
we need to get you out this
outdoor
year.
Cooking. Raised in the Woods is your connection as to how to love and use the outdoors to your advantage, our natural resources in the five states of Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa are unrivaled throughout the country. And we're thrilled to be able to bring some of that to you and to our loyal listeners, including our number one loyal listener, Gary Fluitt, who I guarantee is out there listening, ready to critique
Hi,
the show.
And Hi, shout out to George, too.
And shout
like,
out to George.
What happened to your bestie?
George yeah. listens. Yeah. He's
we have
been
some
very
people
busy.
Coming after their spots, I think.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh
I
yes,
think so.
We do, actually.
I think I love going to the corner gas station and hearing people talk about listening to the show.
Yeah, do you still hang
state.
Out at gas stations?
I love gas stations. Big fan of the Quick Trips. I go through the car wash without a car Working once a week, whether car. I need it or not.
Oh, yeah. I knew that smell somewhere.
Hey, we had a panel today.
Are you saying he smells like a car wash?
Yeah. Oh, that's
all right.
New car smell.
Hey, whenever they shoot that rainbow stuff onto the car,
that.
It smells
that
so
stuff
good.
Is lovely. It does. So happy.
It smells, if I can go through life smelling like bubblegum, that's just fine with me.
I mean, we could make that happen.
The number one fastest growing group of new hunters is women age 18 to 35. And then above that is also a fast growing group of new hunters, and that's women aged 45 to 60.
Oh.
We've got a women's panel here today to
Wait,
talk.
So everybody on this panel is in that age gap of not hunting.
Well,
being new hunter,
I would imagine that's because that's kind of where the established hunters are in that kind of age group. But seeing the women explosion in the outdoors, very exciting to me.
It is.
But
it
there is no
exciting.
Growth without growing pains.
Certainly.
So we've got a panel of experienced actual hunters who've been at it for a combination of several decades. Chef Ellie Lawton, Megan Salazar, and of course, Danielle Fairman. They are hunters who are the real deal, who are putting their money where their mouth is, you know, taking people out.
We try our
working
best.
Working on programs mm-hmm. with the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, which is really one of the best groups in this state. Fostering yeah. new hunters and folks who are part of that program are fantastic. But ladies, I want to know what's going on in the world of women's hunting.
Ooh, Joel, that's you got a while?
Yes.
Pack a lunch, man. There's a lot going on. So I'll start the conversation. There's a lot going on, and how I feel that statement is true is because there's so many different angles to come to the outdoor world from. Okay. You've got online presence, influencers, you've got people that work in the outdoors. You have people who have grown up hunting their whole lives. You've got women that want to get into it and they're overwhelmed by where to start, who to start with, how to financially do it, how to understand all the things that go to it. So I guess to answer your question, I don't have an answer.
it's okay.
The answer is it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming because I think when you find a spot out there, just like a lot of other communities and industries, there's some people that are very supportive and there's some people that are envious because they see people get into this sport and they maybe have they just have a better feel of it. They have, I guess they put themselves in better opportunities. They just experience it differently. So there's so many angles. And I think Megan, Danielle, I don't know how you guys feel, but it's overwhelming to be a woman in the outdoors sometimes, because not only are you sometimes trying to fit in with the men of the outdoors, let's mm-hmm. be real, right? But you're also trying to find your place with the women in the outdoors. And just like anything else, there's a lot of segregation out there, unfortunately. And I hate to say it, but it's really how it goes. And you just kind of have to find your groove, find where your heart is meant to be and go for it.
Yeah, you have a choice. And the age that we live now is social media age, right?
Of course.
Right.
And it is, you can find the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between.
Everything. You're right, Danielle.
But the thing that we all forget is that we are in control of all of it.
Absolutely.
So if you keep getting this negative feed, you see this person constantly and they just bring you down, you have a choice to unfollow them. You have a choice to block them.
Right.
And then just search 10 puppy videos and then all of a sudden your feed is going to be better.
Well,
like, and you have a choice to be happy. You have a choice to look at and follow. So just make the choice of being happy. You don't have to be that other person. You're your own person. Be you.
And you're
find your groove.
You're so right, Danielle, because we all have the choice at the end of the day. We all have a choice to have a good attitude about something, a positive attitude about something. We have a choice to be supportive of women that are trying to do the same mission, you know, that we're trying to do. And like you said, if you're getting a negative message, choose to find a positive one, because there are negatives out there, but there's a lot of people out there that are doing positive things, men and women, to help women in the outdoors.
Not only that, I think everybody needs to go back and watch Bambi again.
No!
And the reason why I say that is because Bumper and his mom are like, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Well, and I think, Megan, you have a unique perspective on this because you really put your money where your mouth is and you spend a lot of time bringing folks into the outdoors, particularly women. You work on those women's groups bringing people in, and we're going to talk more about that because this is a fascinating topic, and this is Raised in the Woods. Raised in the Woods is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great states of Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa.
Oh, my.
You can hear Raised in the Woods on your Civic Media stations at 11 a.m. on Saturdays. And if you don't catch it there, well, we live in perpetuity on the internet. Danielle, where can they look at the podcast?
Danielle. I was waiting for this.
Where can we catch those podcasts?
You can listen to Raised in the Woods on your Apple, on your, oh my goodness, on your Spotify, on your Facebook, and see our wonderful faces and us fidgeting.
Is she going to say it?
Am I going to say it?
Civic.
Oh, the civicmedia.com.
Oh, I was waiting for YouTube.
It's civicmedia.us. Close enough, though. If you
search, goal never gets it. Goal if sports. You,
and we're a team here.
Absolute proof that Raised in the Woods is growing and growing fast is if you put Raised in the Woods in a Google search, it's the first thing that comes up. So
heck yeah.
That's what
enjoy.
Old people like I do.
Feast your eyes on that.
You tell them, Ellie.
All right. We're on kind of I don't want to say a serious topic, but a topic that we're all going to have to think about.
It can be a serious topic. And depending on how you go at it.
Yes. And we're talking about the growth of women in the outdoors. We've got a women's panel tonight.
Plus Dave.
Plus Dave. And John.
And Joe.
And Joe.
John.
But Joe.
You know,
it's Joe.
No, it's Joe. Hey, you know
we'll
what?
Get him right.
I'm going to get this train back on the tracks because we don't have a lot of time. And I actually want to get the perspective from Dave and Joe and Joel. Ooh. I want to know what you guys see. What do you see out there? You hunt a lot with men and women. I mean, what do you see? Do you see support out there? Do you see enough happening out there for women in the outdoors? Like, what do you guys see?
Do you see too much of it? Are you tired of it?
Yeah.
What I see.
What are your hunting buddies seeing? Like, what's going on?
What I see is strong growth in women buying licenses, participating in the outdoors. What I also see is a reflection of that growing so much on social media. And I think that many of the people who are the true hunters, scouting, knocking on doors, baking pot pies, inviting people into the outdoors, are some of the women who are not posting. the most. They're not as interested in putting a filtered picture or a filtered video on, making them look good, and more interested in the like button than they are in actually being a part of encouraging women. And I see sometimes more importance placed on social media and on the photo
likes versus the action.
And the likes versus the action that's happening in the outdoors. And when I see criticism of people, of how they hunt, how they don't hunt, their methods, as long as it's legal and ethical, I don't have a problem with how somebody hunts. So I would like to see it. I'd like to see people who say they want, you know, women in the outdoors to grow. I'd like to see them not be critical, mm-hmm. Of other women coming into the sport. And I'd like to see a nurturing aspect of all new hunters, men and women. That's what I'd like to
see. Now I'm going to ask a super touchy question. Some people might hate this.
Maybe one of the women on the panel should answer.
I want to know what it's actually
for the guys. So yeah. Danielle, this is going to tie into what Joel was just talking about. So when you see those things and you see those women, either they're helping or they're hurting the cause, right? You're right. Either helping or you're hurting right. at the end of the day. When you see that kind of negativity as men, like, do you feel like you even want to include women on your hunts? Like,
good question.
On your waterfowl hunts where it can be a group and it can be a super fun activity, or maybe in a turkey blind, or if you have property and a woman walks up to your door and asks for permission, how does that impact it? Because I think there is an impact there. How do you guys feel about that? Dave, what are you going to say over there?
Well, I think a lot of it is like, you have to look at it as, are you you're saying, you're putting in the time for it. Mm-hmm. And there's women out there that do put every single time, all the time into it to scout for deer, for ducks, turkeys, everything.
Yeah.
There's also the other type that is, they join another group and then they say they're doing it. And what I mean that is, you know, if us guys take you guys out, you know, they're more of saying that, oh, look what I did, but did
not giving credit where credit is due, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And a big thing is too, is, I feel that a lot of women are trying to do it the correct way,
mm-hmm.
but then you have those people that put them down, and I look at it saying, how did you learn to hunt? It was probably by your dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taught you how to hunt.
Yes.
You know, Megan did it a different way.
Yeah.
Danielle, I don't know how you did it.
My ex.
Well, you got introduced into it.
Mm-hmm.
So by that is being introduced, you were exposed to at some point by someone, and someone taught you what they knew.
Right. And we all had a foundation. Like for me personally, my foundation was my father in whitetail hunting and raccoon hunting, small game hunting. But as I got older, I had a ex-boyfriend 10 years ago take me waterfowl hunting for the first couple times. And then after that, it was Joel and his buddies that took me in southeastern Wisconsin for my first goose hunts here. You know, on their permission, they welcomed me as the only girl into the group. They welcomed me. You know, they gave me a chance. I didn't take any drama with me. I was grateful. You know,
you went there and had fun.
Absolutely. And it was.
She brought snacks.
I bring snacks. I know that, you know, that's kind of my thing though. Like I show up with snacks. People aren't going to turn away the food person.
I always showed up with snacks when I first started.
But Joe, you are the young generation coming into this. So I want to get your input on this and what you've been exposed to so far, or what you may have seen or heard, or how we can do better. Just tell us what you've seen.
Truth, I really only know one girl my age that hunts. And okay. That's my best friend's fiance.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So.
And does she hunt by herself? Or
no,
with,
she hunts with
Kyle. You guys. Yep. Yeah. Nice.
Well,
he introduced her to
it. But you see a lot of women on social media that hunt, obviously. They probably show
up. I'm not on any social media.
Wow.
So. I really like this kid.
Hey.
No social media.
You are invited back anytime you like.
All righty.
Also, what I like, so we were talking to Joe on the break and he said he likes to hunt by himself or with his father.
Yep.
And I think that is just the most beautiful thing ever. Yep. Because
my dad's the one that got me into it.
Yeah.
I started hunting when I was 4 years old with him.
You will take those memories for the rest of your life. Yep. Those are so important.
Do you have any siblings?
I got a sister. Yeah. She does not hunt.
No,
not yet.
I got some buddies that I hunt with too. Yeah. But I started out hunting with my dad when I was 4, shooting a pop gun at anything that flew. And then when I was 10 years old, I got a 410 and started with that.
Good for you. And I'm envious of situations like that because I didn't have a dad who took me hunting. I started hunting at 38 years old. Yeah. So now, and most of the guys I waterfowl hunt with who are younger, I've been hunting as many years as they have, but I haven't started as young as they have, which is frustrating. But I will say, any fields I ever got, there were women invited on those fields all through the time that I started hunting. And very often, women were part of our hunting crew. Danielle hunted with me. I can name 3-4 other women who regularly hunted with us. And as time passed, you know, some of those people, especially in waterfowl, come and go. Mm-hmm, they come and go in your groups. And I always just tried to have an attitude of including anybody who wanted to be a part of it. Because when you're growing a sport, and more important than me and who we're hunting with is growing the understanding of conservation and the outdoors, the understanding of using what you kill, not letting it rot in a field somewhere. And that's always been very important to me. What has been most disappointing to me is to see the nasty and negative talk that happens among hunters among themselves, because we got enough enemies in this world. We got enough people trying to stop our rights to hunt and fish and take forage from the field and put it on our tables. We need to all be speaking with the same voice. That's my opinion. And that's one of the most frustrating things for me.
Well, I think people get lost in it too, that they don't realize there's a lot of hunters, but it is a very small community.
Oh, yes.
Extremely small. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anything you say to anyone who you might think you trust, it's getting back to someone else along the line, and it's mm-hmm. going to come back to you.
Right.
But I think that's a great point, because I think there's a lesson in there for all of us. All of us, you know, we get frustrated when we get beat on a field, or we get frustrated when someone else hunts a property we thought we had exclusive permission on. We get frustrated when the social media has got pile pics from someone else and we had a rough day in the field. Mm-hmm. Just remember, what you're seeing on social media is everybody else's best day at that point. Mm-hmm. And real hunters know the vast majority of days are hard work.
Yeah.
And Mother Nature takes its score back very often. And it's like social media in general. We talked about this with Chad Belding in the last few episodes. You're seeing the best of everything and you're wondering, why am I not having that best? But in reality, everybody who's a true hunter is out there having those tough days and mm-hmm. rough days. And let's try to, why don't we try to just be kinder to everybody out there who is in this small, you know, microcosm of the outdoors, and stop, you know, rivalry on one level and competition's great. Okay. But when that turns into loathing and hatred and envy and jealousy, it can be a detrimental thing to the overall cause of hunting.
Oh, yeah. It makes it toxic.
It becomes toxic. And people say toxic things about other people's, and I've seen it on the internet.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen it in person. So, I mean, I think one of the lessons is to realize we're all out for the same goal. And with the resources we have in these states, there are enough resources for everyone to have joy.
Oh my goodness. Doing it. In many different ways too.
Right.
The sideways bananas.
And
we're going to get you on a sideways banana
is my word for a kayak. I think that I'm deathly afraid of them because I'm afraid that I'm going to get stuck in that hole.
Will you go in an inner tube?
I'll go in an inner tube. I'm a great swimmer.
I'm just wondering. So
I was a lifeguard.
Danielle,
I can swim.
You just tow him in the inner tube on like lower Nabobin.
Yeah, I'll go in an inner tube.
Let's do that.
I will jump in the water and practice water
Cannonball.
Displacement theory.
Oh,
so how do we wrap this up though, as far as this huge influx of women coming in? Because what I'd like to see is not for that to stop. I'd like to see it grow. So what's the answer?
I keep saying choose you and choose to be kind.
This
past year I work in a man's field. I'm of, I'm going to call myself a lead, lead in construction, and it's all men. Mm-hmm. Like, I choose me and my path. Just choose you and your path. Everywhere you go, you're going
to
have a choice.
And it doesn't have to be the same as anybody else's.
It does not.
Because nobody's journey is going to be the same no matter what. You might have the same goals, but you're going to get there a different way too.
And the food tastes great. So just talk to Chef.
Here she goes. Yes. Brings the food up.
And also, I think sometimes we all think our opinions, I mean, we're on a radio show right now, right? But at the end of the day, sometimes your opinions, they're just really not needed. And like Joel said and Danielle said, you know, we're all in this together. There's room for everybody. Just choose the positivity, because I've been lucky to have wonderful women around me in the outdoors, and I continue to because I choose to. And I think that's the biggest thing. Just make those choices and you will find your place and be very happy.
Yeah, and remember that if you have a voice, you have the opportunity to bolster other people or harm other people. And why not use your voice for good and keep bringing folks into the outdoors?
Heck yeah.
I can't wait for the recipe. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, everybody, welcome. This is Raised in the Woods, the one-stop shop for the great outdoors and what to do to get out there and use our fantastic natural resources in the Midwest. And my usually favorite part of the show.
Usually?
What do we eat?
Ooh, are you guys
with
fighting?
What we have from the outdoors? No, I'm gonna start the recipe segment.
What?
Because is that okay, Chef Lott, that I do that?
Sure.
Well, first time for everything.
The recipe is gonna be as good.
This
as
is
yours.
Actually really exciting that Joel's doing a recipe.
Well, it's not a specific recipe. I wanted to say that I had the opportunity this last week to serve 105 folks at the A-Team Grassroots. This is a group of disabled folks who love their jobs, and we have an adventure series, and this adventure series was feeding 105 folks with diverse abilities and serving them lunch, and I pulled 60 pounds of wild game out of the freezer.
Oh,
and the recipe is called, like, remember years ago we had the suicide soda, which was a mix of all the different sodas.
I didn't realize it had a name.
Well, it was called a suicide at Skateland. It was all the sodas mixed together. Okay. It's probably an age thing that you haven't heard of, but this recipe,
yes.
I pulled out 60 pounds of meat from the freezer, and it was a combination of Corsican ram, pronghorn antelope,
yum,
axis deer, wild boar, and wild
wait,
turkey.
You put axis deer in there?
Yes. All together in the crock pot with my standard recipe. Fill it to the top with water, half a cup of oil, half a cup of lemon juice, and season it to taste. Let it go for 3.5 hours in the Instant Pot, or 8 hours till it shreds apart, and then add barbecue sauce to it and make sandwiches. And that's my recipe, and it was awesome. And a shout out to the folks at the A-Team and Opportunities Incorporated at Fort Atkinson. And that was just, that's my recipe, and I had an awesome time and a wonderful, wonderful day because of it.
So did you use all 60 pounds?
We did. Used all 60 pounds.
Wow.
Just finished it up. I had about a pound of it left over. So timed that out and figured that out perfectly. But now on to the real deal recipe with the chef. What do you got?
Well, this is not my recipe, actually. This is a very popular recipe in Europe. I recently returned from a wonderful hunt over in Europe, and I was inspired by the goulash I had over there.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I am working on cleaning out my freezer. So I took a venison roast that I had, I cubed it up, and I made like a Slovakian goulash, which is a little bit thicker and richer than a Hungarian goulash, which is kind of where it originated from. And so I just stewed that meat down, paprika, caraway seeds, lots of onions. So the difference between the two, the Hungarian and the Slovakian, or Slovak, you don't you put veggies in the Hungarian version. In the version I made, I just did a ton of onions. So it was almost like a French onion soup, but with Hungarian paprika. And then you guys, the best part is the steamed like dumpling bread that you pour it over. It is so wonderful. So I'll have...
Holy cow. Let's make that sometime.
I don't know who's posting the recipes these days because I don't Facebook. But
We haven't posted any recipes lately.
Oh, well, someone can post this recipe. It's so easy, you guys. And I know it's kind of hot outside. Well, no, not really.
Well, then I think what's going to happen is you're going to have to make it and invite us over. We'll take a picture and then we'll post it.
I think that's fair. We could do that
half pot thing.
The hot pot.
That one.
Yes. We could do
half pot.
Well, I mean, technically it was two half pots.
So I don't really remember my whole recipe because I was inspired by this. So I'm going to make it again. I'm going to write it down. We'll take a beautiful picture because sometimes when I'm in the kitchen, I'm just feeling it and I don't really want to mess with my phone and I don't really feel like sharing it with anyone at the moment.
Yeah, no, so, that makes sense.
I just eat it and that's that. But yes, it was a great recipe. And even, I mean, it's super hot out right now for goulash, but I'm not that way.
Hey, it's supposed to rain a lot next week.
Oh,
but it's going to be 80.
Yes, but anytime in Wisconsin, stick around 5 minutes. The weather will change just as it is throughout the Midwest. And who's not up for a little goulash in the summertime? That sounds good to me.
Or goulashing around.
If it's raining, you can put on your goulashes and eat some goulash. How about that?
Oh, our picture can be us and our goulashes eating goulash.
That sounds great.
Nice.
Perfect. Megan, did you cook anything fancy this week?
Megan's always
cooking.
Before I had my surgery, I made some like venison and cabbage in a dashi broth. Super easy. Yum. I just like layered it all together.
Explain that to the listeners, Megan.
Okay, so a dashi broth is like just like almost like a salted water, but you're using like fish and seaweed to season it.
Oh,
it's a Japanese broth.
Okay.
That sounds horrible.
Oh, no.
Danielle, right now.
Come on.
Danielle is the one we've had to drag along.
Just
and
keep
she ends
the fish
up,
water, man.
Ellie, I need help with your French here. What is it? The MILF?
The MILF?
You know what I'm talking about. MILFOIS. Yeah. So that, except for you put it in a hot pot and you pour the broth over and
you put the fish water over the milk.
Danielle.
Yes, you do.
Milfla.
So you layer the venison strips in between the cabbage, stuff it all in, and then fill it with enough broth to cover, and then
it's a really, really healthy dish.
It's super healthy. It's actually really filling. You get like all of your vitamins and antioxidants from the seafood or the seaweed in the broth. And then protein and cabbage, which is great for your digestive system.
Holy cow. Well, if you're out there and you're listening to these recipes and listening to the show, please give us a follow on Facebook. We've had over 1,000% increase in our Facebook followers in just 3 weeks. So folks are listening and paying attention. If you have questions about the show, send them our way via Facebook. If you'd like to hear something on the show or you have an interesting reason that you think you'd like to be on the show, send us that as well, because our show, you never know what you're going to get, and some of the fascinating people and things we've had on. In fact, next week we're going to have a frog gigger on the show. I cannot make that up. I'm very excited about that. Very excited to eat some frog legs.
We're gonna be
and
hopping
a frog
around.
Recipe.
Giggity.
Gonna have Danielle Fairman talk her into coming back and co-hosting with us next week as well. Great having you along. We'll see you next time on Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.